Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. I have Monica Felton on the show. She has been helping families for last 15 years by helping them saving and paying for colleges so parents don't sacrifice their retirement. So this would be an interesting episode. As you guys know, I've been talking a lot about college lately because I have a teenager now. So I'm already thinking about, you know, what I'm going to do. This show is all about alternative investments, but I think college is also an investment. So really want to make that investment or not? We'll know from Monica. So welcome, Monica, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm grateful to be here.
Absolutely. So Monica, we start with this question with every guest. Tell us something interesting or funny about yourself.
Well, I don't know if it's interesting or funny, but I can tell you that I'd always rather be golfing. So hugely passionate about golf and I spend as much time doing it as possible. I'm not great, but I certainly have a great passion for the game. So
yeah, it's all about having fun out there. Right?
Oh, amen. Yes. Yes, exactly. What's that?
I used to golf. It's been, I think, years since I've been on a course, but it's, I used to golf as well.
Well, it's a big time commitment, right?
Exactly.
So at least 4 hours, but you know, I'm an empty nester now. You know, I've put my daughters, or one's still in college. So obviously when you're empty nester, you have a little bit more time to yourself and your spouse. And so golfing is that thing that we do now together and obviously with friends. So we're blessed to be able to do that.
No, that's awesome. So let's talk about investment as well. What was your first investment and how did it work out for you?
Yeah. So like many of your listeners, you know, my first job, I was a W-2 employee. And so it was a 401k plan, right? No education, yep. No anything. Hey, why don't you put a portion of your income into a 401k and we'll match it? And isn't that great? So how did it turn out? Well, I don't have a 401k anymore. you know, I'm a firm believer, that 401ks are a vehicle, right? But we have to understand exactly what that vehicle for investing is doing. And, you know, the limited access to your money and many other things. I think that there's other places that we can put our money over and above a company match that would benefit investors far more than a traditional 401k or IRA plan.
I see. No, that makes sense. So let's talk about college, right? Because you and I were chatting right before.
Right.
Man, of course, as I mentioned, my kid is in high school now this year.
Yeah.
So when should a parent start thinking about funding for college?
Well, you know, right. So I do presentations all through. I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so for 15 years, I'm really known as the college planning expert, the college financial planning expert. So I speak to the high schools, but I do say, you know, the best time to start planning for college was in the womb. And then the next best time is today. So it's hard to get families motivated to start talking and saving for college, really thinking about it prior to high school. I find that a lot of, you know, parents start picking their heads up in high school and going, okay, wait, the reason they're here usually is because they want to pursue a college education. So that's when families start thinking about it. But obviously the earlier, the better. For planning purposes.
Got it. So, and you mentioned about the cost of college right now. What is the true cost of college now?
Yeah, so there's a marvelous website called collegeboard.org. And you can go and research your student's school of choice and see, you know, what the cost is. But basically an in-state four-year public college education is about $130,000. And that's if they get the degree in 4 years. And then if you leave the state, or so you're going out of state public or a smaller private, you're upwards around $250,000 for a four-year diploma. And then if you're looking at those Ivy, baby Ivies, very prestigious schools, you're upwards of almost $400,000 for a four-year diploma.
Wow, that's Shocking. Crazy.
And it's crazy.
Who has to pay the tuition?
Well, you know, there's been some interesting changes. So this year is 2023. And so there's a lot of updates to something called the FAFSA. That's the free application for federal student aid. And if you're looking for any financial aid, and if you've just heard those costs of college, every parent is looking for financial aid. There's really two types of aid. The first is called merit awards, and that's based on your students' academics. And next is need-based financial aid, and that's based on mom and dad's economics. So when you talk about who has to pay for school, it's really the families. And in some instances, you can get help. So if you have an uber smart child, and I mean, they're a scholar, they're getting a 3.5 GPA or better, then there's opportunity for merit awards. But please hear me. I hope every one of your listeners hears this. If you're looking at a prestigious school, if you're looking at highly selective schools, there is no merit money, zero. Every child is smart, so they don't need to give you merit, right? So the only type of financial aid that's available when you're looking at those tippy top schools is what's called need-based financial aid. And to obtain need-based financial aid, you have to fill out a form called the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And you don't actually do that until your student's senior year, October 1st. So that's when that window opens. But just to help families understand, when you're looking at need, basically FAFSA and another form called the CSS profile, they basically say you can afford to pay 25% of your gross income.
Wow.
Plus another 6% of your visible assets. So visible assets represent everything. 529, brokerage account, checking accounts, real estate. I mean, everything except money already in a retirement plan, like a 401k, IRA, or a pension, annuities, and cash value life insurance. Those three assets are excluded from that asset part of the equation. So think about it. You make $100,000 a year, and you have about $100,000 of visible assets. And they say you can afford really about $25,000 to $30,000 per year of after-tax money to educate one student. If you have two kids in college at the same time, that number doubles.
You're screwed.
Right. It becomes very, very challenging. And I think, you know, there's so much misinformation out there about college and what families are going to get. And that's why I'm so pleased you've had me on your show, because parents need to understand they're expected to pay for college. This is not a government program that families are going to get help on. So we really have to do our best to plan for this expense. And yes, it's an investment, but at what cost? So, you know, I tell my families all the time, you know, your kids will be grateful that you help them with college. But if at 75, you have to move in with them because you have no money, they're going to be pissed and they're going to think you should have planned better. right? Mm. So we need to be smart about what we're paying for our kids' college education.
No, I agree. So I think you mentioned about the merit-based scholarship and FAFSA. Mm-hmm. What are any other ways to pay for college?
Well, I mean, there's different assets that parents can help, but from a student standpoint, getting help, right? So students can get student loans. Hmm. They could get Stafford loans that could either be subsidized by the government or unsubsidized. And subsidies are based on parents' income. So,
right.
So students can get help, but not very much. A student loan where it's just the student and mom and dad don't have to co-sign, the most money you can borrow a freshman year is $5,500.
Wow.
Your sophomore year is $6,500. And your junior and senior, and if you have a fifth year, is $7,500.
Yeah.
Now, here in the state of Arizona, ASU costs $13,000 for just tuition. When you add books, room and board, all of those, it goes up to about $32,000.
Right.
So you can see $5,500 doesn't cover it.
Won't even cover room and board.
Right, right. And so parents really do have to help their students with college. And so there's something called PLUS loans. Now, any school is happy to give you a parent loan, which, oh my goodness, please, please think that through. They're anywhere from 8 to 10% right now. They'll give you up to the cost of attendance. So they'll let you borrow the whole $32,500.
Yeah.
Yes. And you have to start paying that back 6 months after that loan is taken.
Oh, wow. So, that's fast.
Right. So there's student loans. There's parent loans. We already talked about merit awards. So students, you know, if you're smart, then they'll offset tuition with those. You know, and then obviously kids can do, they can do work on campus, you know, so there's ways to offset. They can be RAs in their dorms.
Right.
They can get jobs on campus. But again, we're talking about a couple $1,000s a year. We're not talking $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year. So really, after we've exhausted those things, you are looking at, you know, either cash flowing college or spending down an asset.
Got it. No, that's great. I'm just trying to wrap my head around all this, right?
So hard.
So I'm going to throw you a curveball because I'm trying to figure out, especially I'm in San Francisco Bay Area. So almost everyone here makes pretty good income, right? Even though they don't get to see that in their pockets after paying almost 40, 50% in taxes, federal and state, right? So how can one prepare their kid so he or she can qualify for a scholarship, maybe merit-based, maybe sports-based, I'm not sure, or need-based, right? Even though they are making pretty good money, but as you mentioned, if the money is in 401k or cash value life insurance, it won't count. So is there any way you help or you have, you know, you can prepare the, you know, kids' file?
Right. So I always say the best financial help your kids can give you is to study hard and get good grades, right? Because good grades, that merit money is what entices schools, or what schools send to mom and dad to entice you to send your kid to the school. But the only reason they're going to send you merit money is if they want your student. So have your student be a scholar, right? So have them study hard and get good grades. That's really the best thing. Now, when we talk about academic awards, I mean, unless you're the head football, I mean, unless you're just the tippy top number one in the state, you know, there's not a lot of scholarship money for just your average athlete, right? So if you're an extreme athlete and, you know, going to play for the school, of course there's some money, but that's usually not the people that I'm working with.
Yes.
So really, really what I do to help my families is twofold. So the first is I help families get as cash flow efficient as possible. And what that means is that when you fill out the FAFSA, that free application for federal student aid, you're going to get a student aid report back. And on that report will be what you're expected to pay as a family. And then, you know, after you pick yourself up from the ground, because the number's so high, you can't believe it. Then you're going to start saying, I don't understand. Don't they understand? I have debt. I've got a mortgage. I've got car payments, et cetera. Well, they don't understand you have debt and they don't care because right. It's not one of those seven factors. So when I talk about helping families get cash flow efficient, I look at your overall kind of where all of your money's going. How is it running through your fingertips? Do you have high interest debt, bad spending habits? Is there any way that we can free up dollars to help you repurpose those to college? So that's the first way, is getting you more cash flow efficient.
Got it.
And then the second way, I teach families a different way to pay for college than just cash flowing, going into debt, or spending down an asset. And I call that strategy the wealth builder strategy. Mm. I'm sure on your show, you've heard of it called infinite banking.
High cash value life insurance.
Right. Yeah. So in essence, we create a pool of capital that the family owns and controls that's always compounding, growing uninterrupted. And then we borrow against the asset so that your wealth continues to grow at a greater rate than what you're borrowing the money for. And that way, once you have a college education, there's actually more to your wealth, not only the death benefit, but also interest earned on that college right. education. So it's a more efficient way, a better way to pay for college than just paying cash or spending down an asset.
No, and I agree. I love those high cash value life insurance policies. My wife has a whole life, you know, as well as I have an IUL. So we just wanted to, you know, get best of both worlds. So I totally agree.
Right. Right. There's other ways too that you can pay for college. So obviously, if you've set up a Roth IRA, Roths can be used to pay for college expenses without penalty.
Oh, okay.
And so can IRAs. So you can use IRA money to pay for qualified college expenses. Now, of course, you're going to have to pay taxes. And when you withdraw that money, it's considered ordinary income.
Oh.
But that 10% penalty is waived. So there's no penalty okay. on the money.
That's good.
But again, remember, you're always going to have to pay taxes on your IRA or 401k
right.
money. It's just a matter of when. So if you withdraw the money out of those accounts, you will be paying taxes at that point.
Got it. Got it. But then basically you are dipping into your retirement.
That's right. Right? That's exactly right. That's right. And then there's also, as you know, 529s.
Yes. Coverdale.
529 and Coverdales. Remember, those are all government savings plans for college, which I always kind of laugh because,
yes.
you know, the spike, I mean, college has been inflating at an astronomical rate
yes.
over the last 30 years. It's three times the rate of inflation. And you know when that spike started? Back yeah. in the 70s when the government created the Stafford Loan.
Oh.
When the government got involved with paying for college and started giving college loans, the price of college has escalated ever
wow.
since. So whenever the government puts a
yes.
product in place to solve the problem that they created,
never existed.
Right. I'm always questioning. So, you know, a 529, right? The money goes in, it grows tax deferred. If you use the money to pay for college, right, you don't have to pay taxes on the gain.
Right.
But that's a totally visible asset. So it reduces your financial aid. It's subject to
yes.
market fluctuations. And then of course the money needs to be used for college. So those are just a couple of vehicles, obviously, that families could use to pay this expense. And sometimes we use them all, right?
Yes.
It just depends on the socioeconomics of the family, kind of what their aspirations are and goals for their child. What does their retirement look like? Are they well suited for retirement, or are they in trouble themselves? So all of these things, when you're beginning to think about paying this enormous expense for your children, we really have to back up and say, okay, does it make sense? Where's the money coming from? What's the ROI on this investment? No different. I mean, and I know children are different, right? I have two daughters, and of course I would do anything for them. But again, what I can tell you is they don't want to take care of me when they're when I'm 75, because I'm broke and I have no money because I help them, right?
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I know. Our kids love us, but only so much.
Yes.
Right.
So, and then talking about finalizing a college, what are some of the gotchas while finalizing a college, and especially keeping the tuition cost in mind?
Right. Well, I think a lot of them are, remember, you're not really going to find out what you have to pay for college until your student's senior year, maybe like January or February. That's when all the awards letters start coming back to families. So parents who are, you know, banking on hopes and prayers, they're pretty shocked because 6 months later, they have to come up with this large expense. So I think the biggest thing is there's not near as much money out there as people think. Congress in 2021 passed a law called the FAFSA Simplification Act. And what that Simplification Act is doing is it's changing this term called expected family contribution to student aid index. And the reason they're doing that is because expected family contribution was very misleading. Families would feel like, well, this is all I'm expected to pay. And that was just untrue. The schools were not near as generous as what they said, and families were paying significantly more than what their expected family contribution was. So they changed the term to student aid index to more reflect who should be responsible for college, the student. You talk to a lot of people too. I don't know of a single student out there that can afford $32,000 a year to put themselves through college.
Right.
So it's really a family expense. But what the FAFSA is trying to help families understand, and all those changes are going into effect this year, is families, if you make $60,000 or more, you will pay something for college. So be prepared. That's basically what these changes are. So I have always felt in the past, the gotcha is what? How on earth could I ever be expected to pay for this? That's the big gotcha, because it's just so expensive.
I agree. It's been crazy. I'm just hearing about all these numbers make my head spin.
I know. And it makes me wonder, you know, is it worth it?
Right.
You know, if you have a child that has not done well in high school, right, then maybe college is not for them. You know, there are wonderful trade schools out there, you know, where students can be a plumber, air conditioning, electrical, you know, beauticians. You know, there are so many trades that we need, service industry, and maybe your student would be better served there. College is not for everyone. And I think that's why we have this obscene number of $2 billion of student loan debt.
Yes.
What? Those numbers are crazy. So maybe families, we need to analyze who the student is and what the best future would be for them, because truly college is not for everyone, and that's okay.
Yes. I think that's the thing everyone needs to understand, that that's okay. We also need a lot of other trade people, right? Nurses,
right.
Teachers, whatnot, right?
Absolutely.
So always,
oh my,
yes.
Oh my goodness. But I will tell you, there is a huge push, and it's a burden for the college counselors at our local high schools. They want all the kids to go to college.
Yes.
Like, high schools are, you know, graded, so to speak, and
yes.
on how many of their students go to college, right? Yeah. And so I think it is the family's responsibility to truly determine what's best for the student and what future, because there is enormous cost associated with college. And in some instances, yes, it's worth it. But again, making sure that we're proactively running those numbers and not just stepping into it blindly is going to really create a lot of success for that family.
Well, that makes sense. What do you have to say about the President's Student Loan Forgiveness Program? Has that started? What's going on with it?
Right. Well, the president doesn't have the ability to just, you know, swipe right. a pen and, yeah. you know, and forgive $10,000 and $20,000 worth of student loan debt. I mean, it sounds good. But the reality, he doesn't have that kind of power. Thank goodness. That's yes. why we have Congress, right?
Bipartisan.
So, I believe it's a burden and I believe it's a problem. But again, a lot of these students took out the student loan debt in exchange for a college education. Now, maybe that education wasn't what they had hoped for and certainly isn't turning out what they were promised. So I think it's a complex situation, but you know, if we're going to forgive student loan debt, then how about people who chose not to go to college and, you know, they're out working hard, blue collar workers that are,
right.
That didn't take on any loan debt. Why are we using their tax dollars to pay off somebody who did? So, you know, it's, I think it's very tricky. So I will say that. I mean, I understand why students feel duped for taking on all the student loan debt. But then I also understand there's those who chose not to go to college and they did right. go to a trade school and they're hardworking and it shouldn't be their responsibility. Remember, Joe Biden is not using his money to wave away student loan debt.
Yeah, of course.
He's using ours.
Yeah, yeah. Government did what they wanted to do, right? They created money out of thin air in last 10 years, right? Crazy. Now they want to make sure that that money disappears via the student loan forgiveness program. But who is paying for all that through higher taxes, inflation, and whatnot, right? Us.
Right. I know. And again, who does inflation hurt? The poor people.
Ooh, yes.
People without hard assets. So, you know, we're going to forgive student loan on one debt, which is driving inflation up
exactly.
20, 30, 40%. So it's, you know, education is the way out of poverty. I have always believed this.
Yes.
And our public schools are failing our students. And so again, through podcasts like yours and those people seeking truth, real information about the money system, what's really happening with inflation, those are the people who can help save their families and work towards financial freedom. What the government is offering is usually never what it's cracked up to be. It always costs more. Always.
No, I agree. Thank you so much, Monica, for all these golden nuggets. Are you ready for fire round?
I am, yes.
Would you be changing any business or investment strategy because of the current environment where inflation is still there and everyone is talking about recession?
Yeah. So I'm a huge believer in balance. If you think about your assets, they're in two buckets, a risk bucket and a safe bucket. I'm a huge believer in the safe bucket, as we talked about, you know, high cash value, life insurance, because the market is very unstable right now. But if I have a bucket of cash sitting around and we have some type of a correction or something going on, I can use my cash value, buy everything at a discount, and allow it to appreciate. Cash is king.
Yes.
Cash is where we're allowed opportunities. But if I have all my money in the risk tank, if the market goes down, well, what happens to my assets? They all go down too. So I am really helping clients right now really build up that safe tank, that liquid tank, so that we have those opportunities over the next year, 2-3 years that I definitely think are going to be available.
Now that makes sense. Favorite nonfiction book could be self-development, business, investment.
Yeah. So then you might find this funny, but it's my favorite book of the year, and it's called Lessons in Chemistry. Said nonfiction.
That's fine. if it's related.
Oh yeah. So my favorite fiction book that I've just read this year was that Lessons in Chemistry, which by the way is going to be a little mini series, I think, on Apple coming up. So,
oh, nice.
I like to work hard, but I also like to play hard, and I'm an avid reader.
Yes, me too. I love reading. Any tool or website you recommend? Maybe it's for college or students.
Right. Well, if it's for college, collegeboard.org is a wonderful website for families. There's a wealth of information there. And again, knowledge is power. Students need to understand the cost of this investment. And so I think collegeboard.org is a fantastic resource that all college-bound or college-interested families should be reviewing.
Got it. Any advice for investors?
Well, I would say right now, capital or liquidity is king. So, you know, having access to liquid capital, quick access, I think is of vital importance, definitely over the next couple of years.
I agree. How do you give back?
I am part of, at my church, Illuminate Community Church, we do a women's mentoring group. And so I spend a lot of time with those ladies in women's mentoring and leadership, both spiritually and, you know, job support, families, etc. So that's really my passion project.
Got it. How can my listeners reach out to you?
So my website is monicafelton.com. So you can contact me directly there. And I have a wealth of resources. I have videos. I just finished writing a book, Making College More Affordable. So you certainly could access my book online. I also have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, again, with so many videos and just real help, again, to educate families on not only financial literacy, but also making college more affordable.
This is great. Thank you so much, Monica, for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing.